I love helping other people. I've always had coaches myself, coming from quite a heavy sporting background, or to be more specific, strength training background. I've always had a coach. I've always had mentors. And I love helping others. I love helping others succeed. And I know to truly succeed, you do need a coach.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard.
Investor Tales, stories from the front yard, where I get to speak to property investors from all around Australia about their investing journey. My name is Louise Carr, and I'm one of the coaches here at Positive Real Estate, where we help people build wealth through property. With over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there's some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully make your investing journey that little bit easier and will inspire you along the way. So my guest today is the fabulous Michelle Fisher, and we discuss her background. She's got a fascinating background, and one that a lot of you, I'm sure, really enjoy learning. So Michelle grew up in the Housing Commission in Western Sydney with single mum and brother. And being a Maltese family, they really connected, her family and culture. Their uncle encouraged them to pull their resources together. And certainly change their financial outcome and gesture. So Michelle talks about that, how she went from living in Housing Commission and growing in that, and some of the lessons that she learnt along the way to be where she is today, and certainly a multi-millionaire, and even a multi-million dollar portfolio across Australia as well. But there's challenges that we can overcome with guidance. And so enjoy this conversation with Michelle. I'm sure you will find it very fascinating as well. Hey everyone, welcome to today's podcast. My name's Louise Carr. I'm one of the senior coaches here at Positive Real Estate. It's coaching and mentoring team. And today I have my lovely colleague, Michelle. Michelle Fisher is here to join us and share some of her story and background as well. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for getting on record, so to speak, and socially we've chatted over time, so I know you've got some great stories and great wealth of knowledge to share, so thank you for offering your time and wisdom as well.
Sure, it's been a problem.
Story. So look, it's great to have you, and I'll get straight into it. For those of you that haven't met you yet, can you tell me a little bit about your background and your professions before your life before PRE, so to speak?
Sure. So life before Positive Real Estate. Well, I've been in the coaching space for about 17 years, coaching with health and wellness before entering into the property space. So. Pretty much most of my adult life has been in the coaching realm.
Yep, coaching, mentoring.
Yep. Yeah.
And what do you love most about the coaching side? Why are you drawn to coaching people so much?
Good question. I love helping other people. I've always had coaches myself, coming from quite a heavy sporting background, or to be more specific, strength training background. I've always had a coach. I've always had mentors. Mm-hmm. And I love helping others. I love helping others succeed. Mm-hmm. And I know to truly succeed, you do need a coach and a mentor. Yeah,
beautiful. So is it fair to say what you've done in your fitness side, you've applied to your professional, your business and investment as well?
Yeah, definitely. Look, obviously different. One's health and fitness and the other is property. But again, it comes down to the strategy, the planning, setting goals, small goals, large goals, and then looking at ways to approach that and achieve what you set out to achieve.
Yeah, beautiful. So we'll touch on that today as well. And aside from fitness and property, what else do you like to do in your personal life? Why don't you tell us a little bit about Michelle?
About me? Well, I'm a mother. I've got two young boys, 10 and 12 years of age. We all love the outdoors. So getting outdoors is a big part of what we do on the weekends. I love that. Love cooking. Love eating as well.
Eating and training.
What's that? Sorry?
Eating and training.
That's right. That's why we train, so we can eat. definitely love my health. Love reading. Love investing in my own personal growth. So a very big advocate of education and investing in yourself to be a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
And I like to sort of share that wisdom with my kids as well, and with others, of course.
Yeah, perfect. Are they still listening to you? I guess they haven't got to the teenage years yet, so they're probably...
No, they're still listening. I'm still bribing them. I'm bribing them, you know, they've got, like with savings, I keep on saying you've got to save for your properties. Yeah. And they've got their savings accounts, and, they sort of earn money each week, and they put money away for investing, and, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, teach them young.
That's right.
Teach them young, for sure. Okay, so what has been your experience with property prior to joining Positive as a coach? Tell us a little bit about your property background and how did you get into investing in property? What sparked your interest in that?
Good question. I guess from a young age, I wasn't brought up in a affluent area at all. I was brought up just by my mum and my brother. So we were living in a housing estate, actually, from when I was born. And mum always taught me how to save very well. We did have quite a few of my uncles who had a big influence on my life, and they were investing in property. So I sort of took a bit of a shine to what they were doing. So at the age of 21, both myself and my brother and my mum, we sort of saved. Worked about three jobs, saved, and bought an investment. My mum's first property for her together. And then we used that as a bit of leverage to buy our first investment property, the three of us together, my mum, my brother, and myself. So that's how I started it at the age of 21.
Yeah, beautiful. So you all pulled your resources together to help.
So not your normal 21-year-old. I wasn't going out on Friday night. So it was... Yeah, like two different jobs and so saving as much as I could for the deposit.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah. And whereabouts did you grow up in with your mum? So what area?
In Western Sydney.
Western Sydney, yep. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen that transform a lot over the last 20 years or so since you were...
Look, I haven't been back for over 20 years, but definitely Western Sydney has definitely transformed.
So what was and like you said, you're probably the one serving the drinks looking after the people rather than being on the other side of the bar, which is very, I'm sure your mum was very proud.
Yeah, she was.
What was your main motivation? Is it fair to say that it was really about, you know, your mum and getting ahead, or was there, you know, some extra, something else going on for your family at the time, or what were you working towards?
Look, I always knew from watching my mum, I mean, she sort of worked about three jobs herself, you know, that you couldn't sort of save yourself wealthy. So I started to recognise early on, you know, I was in my 20s when I was sort of purchasing investment books and trying to get my head around investing and the benefit of investing. And I soon realised at quite a young age that investing was going to be that vehicle for myself to be able to earn the income that I was after, and not just relying on, you know, trading time for money all the time.
So essentially before that, how did your first investing experiences go? So you got your mum sorted, you pulled all your resources together, bought a property for her, and then is it you and your brother invested separately? Is that correct?
So we invested again, the three of us, and we bought an apartment in again Western Sydney, or Parramatta in Sydney. A little small apartment block. I think there are about 10 apartments. And we actually, to save money, we actually cleaned all the common areas, did all the lawns. Look, I guess at the time you don't really know what's a good asset or not, if it's the right location. I did, you know, no research at all. It was just someone said, look, buy something. I think for memory it cost us about think it was about 170,000 we paid for it.
Okay.
At the time. Look, I know it wasn't the best quality asset, but it was a start. You know, it was a bit of a stepping stone property.
Got you on the ladder and
And I think you appreciate too with the first investment, if you're not educated, you don't realize the costs associated with investing. So that was a big learning curve for me, learning through my experience.
At least you got the foot in the door. And then where did you go from there? What was your, tell us a little about your journey and your investment decisions. I think certainly back in the day, not that you're as old as what I am, but, you know, it's quite common just to buy something and hope that it's going to be okay and make some mistakes, but just get your foot in the ladder. So it's good you did that.
Yes.
What did you learn along the way, and what would you, you know, I guess what advice would you offer or wish you did? Could do differently? I think there's about three questions in one, but I hope
you... I think it's not being afraid to ask the questions and not being fearful to ask questions, because I was always fearful that I'm asking a silly question, because then I went on to purchase another property just with my mum and myself, so mm-hmm. this was the second investment. Mm-hmm. Again, that wasn't a great asset. It was about 40 years old. It was in another Western Sydney again, in Mount Druitt, so a lower socioeconomic area. Mm. I learned from that one that, you know, those type of areas or that area, the tenants sort of trashed the property quite a bit. So that was another steep learning curve. Sorry, I lost track of the question you asked.
Just what you would do differently.
What I would do differently. I think I would, I would not be afraid to ask why this property is going to work for me or for us at the time. You know, why this works or why it doesn't work. Mm. And I guess because all three of us didn't really have a clue, to be honest, we just thought we've got the funds, let's buy something. Mm. Naturally, everything appreciates in value. And so we bought it. I would have probably, asked more questions around why, you know, mm-hmm. why are we buying this investment? Because funny enough, at the time, we looked at another property, my mum and myself, in the lower northern suburbs in Sydney, same price point.
Yeah.
So I kick myself all the time that it was exactly the same price point, or maybe a little bit more. But, it literally was a street away. Mm. from a little beach. I can't remember the name of the beach, but it was in Mossman.
Okay.
So now in hindsight, had I spoken to the right people, got some advice, I would have made a better decision.
Got one of those kick me stories.
and it actually gets worse because I sold it at the wrong time too. So big learning curves at such a young age, you know, 22, to be investing, and you're doing it because family or friends are saying to purchase.
That's good. Like, it's good you had that jolt, but pity you know at least got you on the rung, but else for you. And then so think about so for people at the beginning of their investment journey, and you probably offered a little bit of that, but what advice or insights would you offer? And I guess, you know, from someone that started out so young, that was passionate, really pulled their resources. So I love, you know, the fact that your family collaborated together. When was the change for you? When was what was some of the defining moments, and maybe some advice you can offer someone in a similar situation to yourself at the moment?
Look, it really is the education, you know, being really informed. And when I say informed or educated, it's reading books, surrounding yourself with people who are actually successful with investing, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are where you want to be, and then asking questions and then educating yourself. Mm. Because I've learnt now, you know, where are the better locations, what to look for in a property, thanks to Sam as well, and a lot of my reading and podcasts. I listen to Sam every morning. Yeah, so definitely the education is huge, and having a mentor who's actually already successful with investing, you know, taking the guesswork out of, you know, what you need to do.
It always surprises, because it's, you know, there's so much information out there, but it always surprises me how many people buy property without actually understanding the principles as well, or why they take advice from, you know, there's a great saying, don't take advice from, you wouldn't take swimming lessons from a drowning person. So why?
Definitely. Definitely. And I think too, like when you go back 20, 25 years ago, when I started investing, we didn't have access to Google, to so many companies like obviously Positive Real Estate or any other companies where we could get the education. Yeah, so you were relying on friends or neighbors or, you know,
the media.
Well, the media, and unfortunately it was the media that we listened to when we decided to sell that investment property in Mount Druitt just after the GFC, and look, we came away with probably, after we paid capital gains tax, maybe a 50K net profit after holding it for 7 years.
You know,
so another really big lesson for anyone who's starting out is, you know, property is the long game. You know, don't think about buying an asset and you know, thinking it's going to grow every single year. You know, hold on to that asset, buy well to begin with, and don't sell it.
Ride the waves.
Because now if I had have kept that property, it'd be over $1 million.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
So again, I kicked myself again because of that one.
Yeah, at least you're laughing about it now. So sure.
What can you do?
Wince a little bit.
That's right. What can you do?
And how much did you pay for it? Sorry, you bought it for once.
No, I think that one, sorry, because I bought another asset in Narangin, Queensland, actually, not another good area. That one was 184.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's strange to think that we paid under 200 for these assets. That one in Mount Druitt must have been around the 220 mark, because it was on close to 1,400 square metres.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and at the time, the agent did say to us that it had development potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another lesson that we learned, because we should have checked with the council first. The frontage wasn't wide enough to develop, because that was the plan. We were going to build three or four townhouses. That was the big plan. And that didn't eventuate. Yeah.
Okay. That's a pity. So do your research, education.
That's right.
Absolutely. So one of the, can you share, you may have already done this, but this may be the one, but can you share the biggest mistake or learning over your, how long have you been investing for, 20 plus years investing? So your biggest learning with that, or your biggest mistake that you've made?
Definitely the biggest is, besides education, I guess, listening to the media and feeling quite fearful. And then at the time, you know, obviously quite young, early 20s. So I still, I guess, took advice from my mother, and she felt quite fearful listening to the media as well. And then we sold definitely at the wrong time. Should have just held on to it.
Biggest regret, selling.
Let's
talk about some positive experiences. What's been one of your best assets, or the best property advice ever, you know, given to you that you've applied in your life?
I think probably the most rewarding and challenging as well would be in 2016, I decided to build my own home as a owner builder self.
Right. And you're still married, so well done.
Yes, yeah. No, well, my husband's very easy. He's like, whatever you think. So it makes it easy for me. So that was challenging. I learned a lot. I know when I first started the build, I had a spreadsheet and I had a timeline of when each tradesperson was going to be rocking up to the property, and that went out the door, I think, the first week. But the biggest learning from that was besides the fact that I really enjoyed, you know, the design aspect of it and planning all the, you know, the joinery and all the living areas and what have you, knowing that I could manufacture equity in a property, that was a really rewarding for me. That was a massive win because I we purchased the land in 2016. By the time it was complete, it was 2020, end of 2020. Mm-hmm. When I got it valued at the bank, it had about 800K equity in it.
Nice.
Mm. So from that, I could see the power of doing it myself, even though I probably got a few gray hairs from it. That was a massive win for me.
The power of building that.
Yeah. And understanding too that it doesn't have to have marble and, you know, all the high end finishes, but the layout's important. How a family lives in a home, where the spaces are, like that was really important. The light, so little things that don't cost a lot add a lot of value to the property.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Sam talks about that a lot in his podcast as well.
Yeah.
So it's getting the right bones and the right structures.
Definitely.
And
so, definitely. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And understanding how you like to live and creating those spaces where you want to live. I look forward to coming home each day because I love the space.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was a big win for me.
good. Nice. Yeah, certainly since after, if you were lucky to get finished end of 2020, I'm sure the market's been very, very kind to you through then as well. So building.
Oh, gosh, if I was to build the same house, I'm sure it would be close to double in construction costs.
Yeah.
Look, I am fortunate that a lot of my family with a Maltese background, they're either cabinet makers or, you know, in the joinery space or, you know, they're very handy with tools. So that helps.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, great tribe around you and people around.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Good. And your uncle that encouraged you to investing, is he still around? Is he, you know?
Yeah, so all my family have been in kitchens. So he's still in the kitchen business. I think now his daughters run that business. But he's actually, he's like a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
He's still property investing. They've done commercial and residential. And now he does beef as well, the Wagyu beef. He's got cows in Japan and cows here, and he's got cattle everywhere. So he's sort of diversified his portfolio with cattle and investments.
Wheeler and Diller by the sounds of it. But
That's right. Yeah.
But he's proud of the family, and it's a great lesson too that he could part into wisdom on his family as well.
Yeah, and I think that's where I feel. I know Sam talks a lot about the flight to quality, and I can really appreciate when I look at the investment properties through Positive Real Estate. I recognize good quality. Because I've come from that background of the good quality joinery, and it does definitely make a difference.
Meticulous detail.
That's really important. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so great to have you on here. Thanks for sharing your story. Classic podcast question, certainly a lot of lessons which we'll dissect, but a classic podcast question to wrap up today's interview is, if you could go back in time and meet your younger self, so younger Michelle, 15, 16-year-old, working three jobs to help with your mum and, everything in between. When you're beginning, what would what advice would you give to your younger self?
Just don't stop, and with every, there's a lesson in everything that we do. Don't feel fearful. If you've got all the facts and the advice and the education and support, just take that chance, because you only get one chance, to give it a go. And just don't be fearful, because look, I wasn't fearful. I was probably naive, but I did things. And now in hindsight, I go, well, I've learned a lot from that. Mm-hmm. So I think everything in life is either a lesson or a gift. So that's how I like to look at things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, especially when there's a challenge. It's like, what lesson is I meant to learn from this?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's a way, you know, I mean, credit to you and pushing past it. It's really the way by teaching and coaching people, and I'm sure you've found this as well in your health and wellness and your fitness journey. It's really how people respond to situations and how people find this, the path going, you know, moving that can really define your outcome, their outcome. So like your uncle, I'm sure everything, you know, hasn't been smooth sailing, but at least you didn't give up and keep going.
Look, everyone, I guess everyone has challenges in life. It's how you deal with those challenges. You know, how do you overcome that obstacle, or how do you work out how to get around it? You know, if you've got your health and your family, I mean, you're already blessed anyway. So everything else is a bonus.
Yeah, definitely. Mindset is everything.
Definitely is. You got to keep working on it.
I just saw Bruce Lee in the background there. It's like,
yeah, that's right. Mindset is very big. And I think I learned that from my mum. Mm. You know, even all those years ago, like, she always had that very positive mindset. There was always a way to work through things.
Yeah.
And I think collectively as a family, I mean, obviously I didn't have my father, but the three of us worked through things together. And I think when you go through those situations, you become more resilient. So when something does come up in life, it's like, oh, that's okay.
Mm.
I've gone through worse before. That's fine. Just something else to challenge me today.
Yeah. You don't get rattled by very much. You're very easy. Yeah. Quite easy going.
Yeah. Not much.
Yeah, that's good. Great life lesson. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. I find it really, really interesting, and I learned a little bit more about you today as well. So that's great. Thank you so much for sharing your story with everybody. And
for having me.
Yeah, a pleasure. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Louise. See you. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback, and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care. Happy investing.